Today's sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, where the penultimate Daf of the Masechta, this beautiful Masechta, Umitz Hashem, be concluded tomorrow. We begin today on Kuf Yud Zayin Mebez, the Mishnah at the bottom of the Daf, about 10-15 lines up from the bottom. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim. They should be successful in every action that they take. And Be'ezus Hashem, they all should be safe. All of Klai Yisrael should be safe. We daven to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, please free the Chatufim, bring back all of our boys safe and sound from the horrors that we're experiencing in Gaza. Yimach Shemom Zichrom. Hashem should take care of all of these Rishoyim. Okay, we pick up with the Mishnah. Shetofa Nahar. If there is a field and the river overruns this field and it basically destroys this field. So Omer Lo, the person who stole this field, is allowed to go back to the person he stole it from, to the Nignav, and say, Ha, Hareshul Cholofanecha, because a field can't be stolen. Now, Gemara explains, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the following Braisa, Hagozel Sod Mechaveri, if somebody steals a field from someone else, so Shtofeno, and the river, the lake, the waters overflow the field, Chayiv Lahamid Lo Sod Acher, the ratio of the Braisa says you are obligated to go and give him another field. That's the opinion, Divrei Rabbi. Now, we have the Girsa Rabbi Elazar, others have the Girsa Rabbi Eliezer. In any event, that's the ratio of this Braisa. That's the Tanakam of this Braisa. The Chacham say, Omer Lo, the Ganav is allowed to say to the person he stole the field from, like our Mishnah, Hareshul Cholofanecha. So our Mishnah is authored by the Chachamim, but we in the Braisa have this other opinion that says that no, he still is responsible. What are they arguing about? Michael Miflagi. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, with the methodology known as the Ribui Miut Ribui methodology. Rabbi Elazar Darash Ribui Umiute the Ribui. So what's the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Nefesh Kisecheto Umoal Moal Bashem, the Kichesh Ba'amiso. That will be the first statement. And then the Pivkadon, Obisumas Yod, Obegezel. That will be the second statement. There will be either the Riboy in the first statement, then the Miut, or it will be the Klal, and then the Prat. And then you have the final, either Riboy or Klal, or Oshak Es Amiso. So we'll have two different ways that the Chachamim versus Rabbi Elazar Darshan. So Rabbi Elazar Darshan's with the Riboy Miut methodology. So the Kichesh Bamiso, the person lies to his Chaver, to his friend. So then Riboy, that's the first general statement. Now this is talking about a loan. The person gave him money or gave him a deposit, and he said, I'm giving this to you. And then the person who received it denied it. So that's a Riboy. Then we have the Miutim, the specifics. Bipikodon, or as well you have Obisumis Yod, Obigezel. And then you have the miutim, and then you have oh mikol ashe yishava alav lasheker. So that's chazav riboy. So you have here riba miyet uriba. So you have this methodology. So the generalization over here is as follows: riba would in general mean everything. When you have then this riboy, it means umay ravi. It includes ravi kol mile. It would include everything, including even stolen land. And therefore, the Ganav has an obligation to return the stolen land. He can't just say, well, here it is back in front of you. He has to return the value of that land. And the miut then, bikadon, umay miut, that comes to exclude one thing and one thing only. So the one that is the most not like this general statement is miut shtaros. Shtaros are something which have no intrinsic value themselves. They're just a piece of paper. They represent a concept, of course, what the value of the document is. Includes, but it's just a piece of paper. So that's the first thing from the riboy. So that's the thing, the one thing that is excluded from the miut. So when you have a riboy, miut, and riboy, so then the one item and only one item is excluded, and therefore that's shtaros and not karka. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. On the other hand, the Chachamim darshi with the klal uprat methodology. Rabbanim darshi klal uprate. So the kichesh, that's the klal, but pikadon, that's the prat, and then omikol. So then chazar viklal. So that's the second klal, and you have the klal uprat uklal methodology, which teaches us yatadon elokein uprat. Here, it comes to include everything that is similar, that has basically the same common denominator as the prat. So anything like that is included. So therefore, maha prat dover hamitaltel v'gufo mamon, the pikadon, the sumis yod, the gezel. So these are all things that are mitaltelim, and they are intrinsically of value. So therefore, anything that's like that, av kol dover hamitaltel v'gufo mamon, is included in the klal u'pratu klal. But therefore, it excludes yatsu karkos. Oh, The Chacham disagreed, say you cannot steal karka. It's not a dover hametaltel. Shame the taltlin. And likewise, yotzu avodim, which are considered shahuk shulakarkos, have the same din as karka. And likewise, yotzu shtaris, it would include a shtar, which is not something that is gufo mamon. Sha'af alpi shemetaltlin, it is a something that is metaltel. Nevertheless, ain gufo mamon, it has no real value. It is a piece of paper. So therefore, that's the understanding, machlokes in the braisa, with the chacham holding like the opinion of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, Paul de Tanya, we learn the following brisa, Hagozel es Sapor, if somebody steals a cow, and then Ushtofa Nohar, and the river overflows, and it sweeps the cow away. So Chayiv Lahamid Lo Parah, he has to go and replace that parah that he stole to the original owner, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim omer lo harei shechol, you can give back the cow. Now, how could that be? Hasam b'maykum ifligi. Well, they argue about this is something that is metaltali, so of course it should be returned. What would be the possible opinion to say that it shouldn't have to be returned? So omer Rapapa. Rapapa tells us, you know what this Bryce is talking about, it's not talking about just there's a cow alone and got swept away. No, Hossam and Maya Skina, we're dealing with Kagon Shigozal saw that Mechadero. Shimon stole this field from Reuven, and this cow was on the field, and we turned to Kuf Yud Cheso Medale Vahoiso Para Revutsobo, and the cow was sitting down on this field. Now, Rashi points out, the Gazel no Moshe, he didn't make a Kenyan Meshicha, Vahavi Kikarkos, and this cow is basically on the field, and therefore, now when the field is flooded, and the cow is swept away as well, so now, did he or did he not make a Kenyan, the Ganav, in this cow? So each Shita, respectively, follows their own Shita. The Rabbi Elazar l'taimei, the Rabbanon l'tamayu. So Rabbi Elazar follows his reasoning, which says that the Ganav does acquire the land, therefore he made a Kenyan Agav with this cow, he therefore is responsible for this cow, and therefore he has to go and reimburse the owner for the cow, as well as for the field. Whereas the Chacham say, no, he never acquired the field. If he didn't acquire the field, he didn't acquire the cow on it with a Kenyan Agav. And therefore, just like he can say, Harei Shel Cholofenecho, with the field. So he has no responsibility to the cow because he never acquired the cow. So each of them, based upon the Shita, we can understand the price. Next Mishnah. We have a lot of Mishnahis today. Hagozel es chaveiro. If Shimon steals something from Reuven, o shehilvo heimenu, or he borrowed money from Reuven, o shehikidlo, or Reuven put a pikadon in Shimon's possession. In other words, Shimon has something that doesn't belong to him. So now he wants to do tshuva, he wants to give it back. Or in the case of the money that was lent to him, he wants to pay it back. Or the pikadon that was given to him, he wants to give it back. So if he's in by Yishuv, if he's in a settled area, if he's in the normal places where people are, so then lo yachzir lo b'midbar. He doesn't have the right to go and give it back to him in the midbar. He has to give it back to him in the settled area. He has to give it back to him in the city. He can't go give it to him out in the desert. However, so he has to give it back to him by Yishuv, lo yachzir lo b'midbar. However, Al-Minas Lot says by midbar. We'll have to explain exactly what this means, but now, right now we'll just say the simple words and we'll explain a little more deeper. If he said, I will give it back to you in the midbar, so then Yasulob midbar. Then he's allowed to give it back to him in the midbar. Now, that's obvious, and then we'll have to answer why the Mishnah is teaching us something that's so obvious. First, the Mishnah starts off though on the Reisha and says, wait a second, we have a Brisa that seems to contradict our Mishnah, Rinu. The Brisa says, Milvo Mishtalemis Bechol Makom. You are allowed to turn a loan. Somebody gave you money. You can go give it back to them Bechol Makom, which would include in the midbar. And our Mishnah said you can only give it back to them in the Yishuv. So there's a direct steer between our Mishnah and the Brisa. What's going on? Our Aveda, the Brisa says, or Pikadon, you're right. Ein Mishtam Elabim Koma. You have to go and give the Aveda that you found, or the Pikadon that you were given to, that you give it back in the place where you were either found it or in the place where the Bikadon was given to you. In other words, you can't go and give it back in the midbar. So the Sefer is fine. This Brisa says Aved and Bikadon, exactly like our Mishnah. But the Reisha, which said that the loan can be returned even in the midbar, B'chol Makom, that goes against our Mishnah. How do you reconcile them? Omer Abaye says, no problem. Halkikomer, the Brisa is telling us the following. Milvo nitno li tova b'chol makom. The person who lent the money can go and ask for the money back in the midbar if he wants. He doesn't have to wait till he gets back to the Yishuv if he wishes to. They're on a caravan together. And he says, you know, the $1,000 that I lend you, you can pay it back to me now. I want it now. It's 30 days, let's say, the loan was up, says pay it back to me now. Don't wait till we get back to the Yishuv. I have no problem getting it right now. So that's allowed. But an aveda picado, so you can't go and demand that the guy give it back to you right now in the midbar. He says, "No, I have it in the house. I'm not coming to the midbar to give it to you. When you come to my house, I'll give it to you." And that's heter gomer. Aveda picado lo nitnu li tova el bimakomam. The person who lost the item and now wants it back can't say, "Well, bring it to me here in the midbar." The person who gave him the picado to watch can't say, "Well, bring it back to me in the midbar." So that's what the Bryce is telling us. It's not a contradiction to the Mishnah. Okay, then the second part of the Mishnah we said was obvious. Almanas lost his midbar. The guy made a tonight, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to go and bring it back to you in the midbar." And the original owner said, "Yeah, no problem." So then you can do it. Mor says, "Pshita." It's very, very partial. It's very obvious. What's the chiddush over here? The Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "No, there's a big chiddush." The Gemara says the Mishnah has a big chiddush. Lo tzricha. You need this chiddush because the amalei. This is where the person, let's say, was given the picadon. So he says to the person who gave him the picadon, "Lehebe hai picadon gaboch, da'ano limidbar nifikna." Because the person who is the owner of this picadon says to the person who is giving the picadon to wash, "Please watch this for me. I'm going to the midbar, and therefore I can't watch it. Watch it for me." Vamalehu, the person who was given the picadon to watch, says, "Hey, me too. I know lemidbar nami beino lemefak. I am also going to be going to the midbar." And therefore, the girsa that we have is ibo'ino. The girsa that Rashi has is ibayis. In other words, if he wishes to, the one who has the shmira on the picadon, this shomer of the picadon, is telling the owner of the picadon, "I'll accept watching this for you, but I want you to know, if I wish to, if I want to, lahadrinu law chosim, to give it back to you in the midbar, mahadrinu law, I have the right to go and give it back to you in the midbar." Rashi says the chiddush over here is, v'ashmin and tana, the Braisa is telling us, the afagav delav t'nai gomorhu, even though this is not a full-fledged t'nai, I am going to return this to you in the midbar. Because he said, "Da ibayis kama." He said, "If I wish to, I have the right to go and return it to you in the midbar." So the chiddush of the Mishnah is afilu hachi, even though he didn't make an explicit tonight. Kivan diyada iu, since the owner of the bikkurim knows that nami lemidbar nafik, that this guy is going out to the midbar, and al korcho yikavlim, and he's accepting basically. No, he didn't say I definitely will, but by the fact that the shomer of the bikkurim said I might return it to you in the midbar, even though he didn't make a definitive tonight that I can return it to you in the midbar, that is acceptable. Okay, next mishnah. Haomer lechaveru, if a person says to his friend. Shimon says to Reuven, "Gizalticha, I stole something from you," or "Hilvisani," or "I borrowed money from you," or "Hivkaditu etzli," or "You put a deposit, you gave a picadon to me, and I don't remember any odeya." Shimon says to Reuven, "If I returned it to you, im hechzarti lecha, im lo hechzarti lecha." No, I had here a tshuva, and I wanted to return to you. I don't remember if I did. I wanted to pay you back the money you lent me. I don't remember if I did. That deposit that you gave with me, that picadon, I don't remember if I returned it to you. So what's the halacha? Chayav lishalim. He has to go and pay. Now, we're going to have an explanation of this in the Gemara, which we'll wait to fully explain this, but basically, this is a case of bari, that he definitely states that I did get this item in my possession, either through a geneva or through borrowing it or because I was watching it. And therefore, that's a bari, that's a definitive statement. And now he's saying, maybe, but maybe not. So therefore, Chayav L'shalom, he has to go pay back because he's moda that he owed him at one time the money and he's not sure if he gave it back. So therefore, he has to pay it back. We'll understand this more in the Gemara, as I said. Avolim Omar Lo. But if he said to him, if Shimon says to Reuven, I don't know if I stole this from you. I don't know if I borrowed money from you. I don't know if you gave a deposit to me. So then, in all of these situations, the Mishnah tells us, here, it's a Shema and a Shema, and therefore he doesn't have to go pay back without there being any proof that he has to go and pay it back. Now, what is the Mishnah really telling us? The Gemara says, Itmar. We learned, Monoli biyodcha, if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a money. V'halo omer, and Shimon says, any odep, I don't know. So here we have a machlokes amaroyim, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, versus Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amrei Chayiv, they say, he has to pay him back. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amrei Potter, say, don't have to pay him back. What's the svara? So, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amrei Chayiv, because Bari Vishema, Bari Yadav. This is what I mentioned in the Mishnah. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, they say that the person is obligated to pay him back, because Reuven says, you definitely owe me the money, and Shimon says, I'm not sure. So therefore, this is a Bari Reuven, a Shema, maybe, Shimon, and therefore when you have a Bari argument versus a Shama argument, the Bari wins, Bari is audit, and therefore Shimon has to pay back Reuven the money. On the other hand, Reb Nachman and Reb Yochanan, they say, no, I'm reporter. Why? Because they say, okay, Mamona, Becheskas Mari, you leave the money where it is. There's a dispute over here. Shimon isn't acknowledging that he has the money. He says, I don't know. And therefore, unless Reuven has proof that Shimon owes him the money, not just the fact that Reuven is certain that Shimon owes him the money, Reuven has to bring proof. Otherwise, we leave the money where it is. There's a chazaka. Okay, Mamona, you leave the money, Becheskas Mari, in the one who has it right now. So that's the understanding in the machlokes between Rav Huna and Yehuda, who say that he is chayev to give the money to Reuven because he's a Shema and Reuven is a Bare, versus Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, who say, no, you leave the money where it is. There's no raya, so therefore you leave the money where it is. Chazaka trumps the Bare versus Shema argument. Now, our Mishnah is a problem for Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Why is that? Because tonight, and we learned in our Mishnah, Avalim Armelo, Eini Odeya Im Havisani Potter. If Shimon says to Reuven, I don't know if I borrowed the money from you. I don't know if you really gave me this money or not. You gave me the pikadon or not. Or I stole from you. So then he doesn't have to pay. We said potter. Now, what's the case? Hechidami. Ilema delo kotavale. If the case is talking about where he didn't ask for the money, Reuven didn't ask for the money, so that's why he's potter. So then in the Reisha, it must also be talking about Reisha nami delo kotavale, that Mustama, the Reish and the Sefer, talking about the same scenario. So if the Sefer is talking about where Reuven didn't demand the money from Shimon, so then the Reish must be talking about Reuven didn't demand the money from Shimon. So then, am I chayev? So if Reuven isn't demanding the money from Shimon, and Shimon says, I don't know if I owe you the money, so then, why would Shimon have to pay to the Reish? Ella, mustn't it be Ella de Kotovale? The Reish must be talking about where he demanded the money. And that's why Shimon has to pay him. So then, Uktani Seifa, Potim Elishalim. But then the Seifa, where Reuven is demanding the money, so Shimon doesn't have to pay him in that situation. Why not? After all, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say, when you have a Bari versus a Shema argument, which is exactly now what we're saying, that Reuven is demanding the money, he's certain you owe me the money, and Shimon is saying, no, I don't know if I owe you the money or not. So then, why would the Sefer be that he doesn't have to pay? The Sefer should also have to be a Bari versus Shema, according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and he should have to pay. So I said, no. Lo, Leolam de lo kotavale. In the Sefer, there was nobody demanding it. It's not a Bari Shema. It's a Shema Shema. And therefore, you leave the money with the Chazaka. You're saying that the Reisha is talking about also the lo kotavale. So then why would he have to pay? No. The Reisha, b'bal lotzei sidei shomayim. The Reisha, he wants to be yotzei, not the din in a beis din. In a beis din, he wouldn't have to pay. Because, again, you leave the money where it is, and nobody was being tovei it. But he wants to be yotzei b'dei shomayim. He says, listen, maybe this guy really lent me the money. Maybe I stole from him. Maybe he dropped this pikadon off of me. I just forgot. I just don't remember. So therefore, I don't want to have potentially money in my pocket that doesn't belong to me. I want to be an erlich guy, so I'm giving him the money. That's what the Reish is talking about. He gives him the money to be yotzei yedei shamayim. And I'll show you that this is right. It manami am Rav Chiya bar Abba am Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba sending Rav Yochanan chom lechaveru. If one person says to another person, mona li biyodcha, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money. You have a mana of mine. And Shimon responds, hello, mer, and you're dead. I don't know. So then chayev. So this goes against what Rav Yochanan said. But here Rav Yochanan says that you do have to pay. So before Rav Yochanan said you don't have to pay in this situation, you leave the money where it is. So how come over here he says you have to pay? He's chayiv over here because Bebal lo tzei sidei shemayim. Me, based in his point of view, he wouldn't have to go pay. Bidei Adam, he wouldn't have to pay. But this guy, again, he's an erlich guy. He says, I don't want to have stolen property in my possession. Even though technically you leave the money where it is. But here, I don't want to take any chances and I'm going to pay it back. Bidei shemayim. Okay, next Mishnah. Again, like I said, a lot of Mishnahs today, short Gemaras. Hagonev tle min ha'edah. If Nebuchadnezzar goes and steals a sheep from the flock, and the hechziro, then Baruch Hashem, he has hirum of tshuva, and he returns it. Now, we'll have to see. There will be four different interpretations as to exactly what our Mishnah's details are. So I'll just read the words right now, and then we'll have the four opinions in the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chista. Now, hagonev tle min ha'edah. One person stole, Shimon stole from Reuven's flock, and then he returns it. But, umeso nignav, after he returned it, the sheep that he stole dies, or it was stolen by somebody else. Chayav b'achriyuso, the ganav has to go and pay for it, even though he returned it. We'll have to see why in the Gemara. Lo yadu balim, lo b'gnevoso, v'lo b'chaziroso. But if the balim never knew that it was stolen, and they didn't know, therefore, that it was returned because they didn't even know that it was stolen. In this scenario, the Mishnah tells us, Umanu esatzon ushlemi, but they counted their flock and they saw, you know, they had 50 sheep beforehand, and now they know, they go out today, they have 50 sheep. So then, potter, then the ganav is not going to be chayiv if this sheep then subsequently dies or is stolen by someone else. Now, there are four shitas to understand our Mishnah. The first one is Rav. Amar Rav, Lidas. We're dealing over here with, in the first case, where the ganav stole it and returned it, that the Baal, the owner of this sheep, knew that it was stolen. And therefore, Rav's opinion is, Tzarech Das, the Nignav has to know that it was returned to him. If he doesn't know that it was returned to him, so then the ganav is still going to be chayiv if it was Mace or Nignav afterwards. Shalola Das, however, if the Nignav, the person who had it stolen from him, the owner of this flock, did not know that it was stolen, and then he counts it up, Minyan will be poter. And he says, I have 50 left. I had 50 before. I have 50 now. Oh, I'm intact. So then the ganav is not going to be chayiv if it's stolen or it dies, this sheep that he had originally stolen. So therefore, according to Rab, the chik tani umanu es hatzon, v'hi shleima, so the last statement of the Mishnah, that the owner of the flock counted up his flock, there were 50, and he says, that's what I have. So then, that's going on the sefer. That's only going on the case where he never knew that it was stolen. So if he never knew that it was stolen, and now he sees that there's 50 in his flock, so then the original ganav is going to be potter if it's stolen by somebody else or if the sheep dies. That is Rav's opinion. We still have to explain this a little bit more. That is Rav's opinion. Ushmul disagrees. Ushmul Amar. Shmul says, no. Bein ledas, bein shelo ledas. It makes no difference whether the nignav, the person who owns the flock, knew about the gneva or didn't know about the gneva. If he eventually sees that he has 50 animals left, he has all 50 of his flock there, so then minyan is poter. Then the original ganav is no longer chayev. He's poter from having to pay any further damages that might occur to this sheep. I, therefore, when the sefer says, v'chik tani umanu, so when the owner of the field, the owner of the flock, goes and counts the 50 sheep, so then potter. That means, in that situation, akula, it goes on whether he knew about it in the reisha or he didn't know about it in the seifa. Bein ledas, bein shelo ledas. Counting is considered a valid return by the ganav, as opposed to Rav, who said that no, if he knows that it was stolen, he also must be told that it's returned, even if he counts it. So that's a fundamental difference between Rav and Shmuel. We'll see more about this in a moment. Then we have the next opinion, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Omer Lidas, if the owner of the flock knows that his animal was stolen, so then Minyan Poter. Then as long as he knows that now he has 50 back again, so then the original ganav is no longer liable. However, Shalol Lidas, if he never knew that it was stolen, and then it was returned, so he never knew it was stolen. He didn't know, obviously, that it was returned, because he never knew it was stolen. So then, you don't even need to count. Afilu minyan nami lo tzarech. Then, even if he didn't count, since he never knew it was stolen, and why would he think that animal was his was stolen? And therefore, the same for the mission, when it says, v'chik tani, manu esatzom v'yishlema, the case where he counted up his flock, and he sees the other 50 sheep still over there, so then, that's going on the reisha, where he knew that it was stolen. According to Rav Yochanan, just counting it is enough to say, okay, now I got all 50 back. I know it was stolen. I have to assume that the one that he stole is returned to me. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion. And the last opinion, Ruchista. Ruchista Amar Ledas, if the owner of the flock knows that his animal was stolen, so then when he counts and sees he has 50 again, so Minyan Poter, oh, it must be the same one that was stolen from me. It was returned. However, Shalol Ledas, if he didn't know that it was stolen, Rav Chista says, Tzarech Das, you got to let the guy know. Counting it is not enough. Because, as we'll see, he's going to be concerned that this animal is now used to being a runaway. And therefore, the owner has to give it special shmirah. But the owner doesn't know it. So therefore, he won't give it special shmirah. So therefore, if he didn't know that it was stolen, the ganav, when he returns it, must tell him. Minyan isn't enough in that situation. And therefore, V'chik Tani, Umanu Asetzo V'yishleima, that Sefer of the Mishnah that says if the owner of the flock counted them up and it says that there were 50, that can't be where he didn't know about it. It's only talking about the Reisha where he had Das. And to explain this, as I just did, comes Rava. Amar Rava. Rava tells us, why does Ruchista seem to say that if there was Das, then the minion is good? If there's no Das, then the minyan isn't enough. That seems to be a little bit backwards. So we turn to Kuf Yud Ches on the base. My time with Rav Chisda, Rav explains the rationale of Rav Chisda, and he says, hold the ankita nigre baraisa, because the animal is now used to being outside, and therefore it's tasted freedom, and it's going to try to escape again. As Rashi says, limda lotzeis chutz, it knows to go outside, and therefore it requires extra shmira. Umeata, from now on, tzricha shmira yofer, it needs shimur yofer, it needs a better shmira than a regular animal that hasn't been used to freedom. Now, since the owners don't know this, even the lo yadu balim, lo mizdahari, but they're not going to give it the extra shmira that it needs. But if the owners know that it was stolen, the reish avoladas, so then minion's enough because, hey, that's my animal, I better watch it better. So minion is poter. Shari kiru shenignava, they know that the animal was stolen, tasted freedom, and now they're zero, and they'll watch it better. Umeyachshav yizoruba. So therefore, in the case, somewhat paradoxically, that's why Rav has to explain Rav Chisda, when the owner knows that it was stolen, and then he counts and he sees that he has all his flock there, he will know, I better watch the one that was stolen because it's tasted freedom. But if he doesn't know, so he's not going to watch it better. And he won't know that it tasted freedom, and it's going to escape the next time. And therefore, the ganav has to notify him if the owner didn't know that it was stolen. Okay, these are the four shitas. Now, the more questions, did Rava really say what we just said? Rava said to explain Rav Chisda, or me, Omar Rava Hachi. After all, we have another statement from Rava that seems to contradict this. Omar Rava said, Hai man, the chazye lechavre, if a person sees his friend, the agba imra me edra didei. So, Reuven sees that Shimon has stolen a sheep from him. The Rava Bekolin, he says, hey, stop, ganav, stop. The Shadja, and the ganav runs away and puts the sheep down. But the owner of that sheep, Velo Yoda Ihadre Ilohadre, he just sees the ganav running away. It's behind the hill. Sees the ganav running away. He doesn't know, did he put the sheep back or did he not put the sheep back? So Rava says in this situation, if the sheep is then found subsequently to be dead, umeis, onignav, or it was stolen by someone else, so then the ganav is chayav b'yachriyu. So the original ganav is chayav. What? My love, I forgot the money. What are we talking about here? Even though the original owner of the sheep counted his sheep and saw that there were 50 there. So why isn't this concerned the valid chazara? He should know, he returned the sheep. The sheep got used to a taste of freedom. The sheep's going to need extra shmira, and he'll give him extra shmira. Now, if somebody else steals it, or if the animal dies because it escaped, so the ganav shouldn't be held liable. So why does Rava here say that he's held liable? Shmuel says, lo, to lo money, because this statement of Rava is talking about where he didn't count them. So the owner did not know if the sheep was returned or not. And therefore, the original ganav is still going to be chayv. Now, we're going to question the shita of Rav. Rav was the first shita. Just to remind ourselves, Rav had said that in the case of Das, where the owner knew that his animal was stolen, so then it must be returned. He must have knowledge that the animal was returned. Das requires Das. But if the owner did not know, then counting it is enough. If he sees that he has 50 sheep, so then Mistama is also the same 50 sheep. He has no reason to think otherwise. He doesn't know that it was stolen. And therefore, the sefer that it said, Umanu esasov vishlema, is going only on the sefer. Because in the Reisha, even if he counted it, it's not enough. He needs Das. So there's more questions. Did Rab really say this? Umi Omar Rav Hachi. Was this really Rab Shita? After all, if Amar Rav had taught us, have zero li a, there should be midbar yotza. Rav had taught us that if you go and return this sheep to his flock while it's out in the midbar, then that fulfills his obligation to have returned the sheep that he stole. Now, it doesn't mention anything there about letting the original owner know, and it doesn't mention anything there about being mona. So what are the details of that case? It seems to be across the board. Therefore, it seems to be a steer in Rav. In our Mishnah, he says differently than he says over here in this statement that you can return it in the midbar, and it doesn't mention anything about das or anything about counting. So Amar Chaim Bar Abba, he says, no, Moder Rav b'Riku Asa. This case was unique. This case was talking about Riku Asa. What is Riku Asa? So Rashi explains, Shatzle Nikarhu. This was a very recognizable sheep. Kishenignav, it was stolen, but the nikar hu l'roeh b'midbar kishenitosef al tzono va'afilu lo mona. There was special markings on this. Biriku also means that it had spots on it. It had a certain coloring to it. It was a recognizable animal. All the other sheep are white. This one is a brownish sheep. So therefore, it is recognizable. So therefore, there is no need to tell anybody that, yes, I returned you the sheep. It is obvious. That's the only sheep that was like that. And therefore, in this situation, Rav says, you don't have to go and tell him I'm returning your sheep. So, even though he had knowledge that the sheep was stolen, and in the first statement that we had from Rav, he should have had to give him knowledge back that it was returned, but it's essentially as if he did give him the knowledge because the sheep is recognizable, and therefore the owner essentially did get knowledge, he did get notification, so it's a case of Ladas as well. So there's no stira in these two statements of Rav. Nadim wants to suggest that this machlokus between these Amoraim, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chisda is actually a double machlokus tanoim. Lema ki tanoim. Let us say that these four shitas are actually machlokus in the tanoim. Why is that? Because we have the following brisa. Brisa says, Hagonev tle min ha'ediv. Somebody, Nebuch, steals a sheep from the flock. Shimon steals one of Reuven's sheep. Or the sella min ha'kis. Or he pickpocketed him. He took out a sella, a coin, from the guy's pocket. And Limakom Sheganov Yachsir. So the din is, the Brisa says, that place that he stole it from is the place that he has to go and return it to. So he's only going to be exempt from any further liability when he goes and returns the sheep to the flock and he returns the sella to the kiss of the person. That is the opinion Divri Rabbi Yishmael. We'll have to explain fully in a second why. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Tzarech das balim. When you stole something, you must go and inform the balim when you return it so that they will know. Now, what is exactly the machlokas over here between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? Both of them hold savrua the kuli alma islu Rabbi Yitzchak. Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva hold from the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. What is the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak? The alma Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak holds Adam osu lemashmesh bekiso b'chol shoah. A person is constantly checking his wallet. A person constantly knows, hey, do I have that money in my pocket or not? He's very much aware of the potential for pickpockets, and he's constantly checking his pocket, as opposed to his flock. He doesn't constantly check his flock. So therefore, my love, aren't we dealing over here that this machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is bisela l'das, that when the person is aware, he checks his pocket all the time, and he knows that the money has been stolen from him. And this is the same machlokas as Rav Shmuel. Ubeplugs of the Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are arguing the same way that Rav Shmuel argued. Rav says when something is stolen with das, it must be returned with das. So too over here, Rabbi Akiva says exactly like Rav that you must go and return it. Tzarech das balim, like Rav. And Rabbi Shmuel holds like Shmuel. And Shmuel had said no, you don't need das balim. Bein ledas, bein shelo ledas, minyan is patur. Since the guy's constantly checking his pocket, so he'll know that it was returned. So Shmuel holds, in fact, in the same way that Rabbi Shmuel holds. And Rav holds like Rabbi Akiva. So let us say this is the machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Is the same machlokas as Rav Shmuel. And the second part, now we have the words lo, but some aren't encouraged the words lo, but it all depends on the way you inflect the words over here. And also, isn't it low if you hold the gears of low? Or you just say, and in regards to the tle, when the stealing of the sheep, shelo ledas, that they're talking about that the person did not know that his sheep was stolen, and this is in accord with the machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Rav Chisda. Ubefluxa, the Rav Chisda, Rav Yochanan. I'm not sure why it says Rav Chisda first. Rav Yochanan was listed first, but in any event, this is the machlokas of Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan. Why is that? Rabbi Shmuel says, even though there was no minion over here, but there is the return. Since you don't check your flock all the time, you had no das. And if you have no das, it's sufficient, according to Rav Yochanan, that you just go and return it. You don't have to notify him, and he doesn't have to even count it. So Rav Yochanan aligns over here with Rabbi Yishmael. And Rav Chisda aligns with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds, in this situation, you have to have das of the balim. And Rav Chisda said, because of the extra shmira, you have to have the das of the balim. So let us say over here that this machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is actually, it parallels the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel, and it parallels the machlokas of Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan. We have all four shitas over here. So Gemara says, no. Rav Zvid explained in the name of Rabba that Now, the Girsa that we have is Bishomer Shaganav, but the Girsa in Rashi is Begonev Mirishus Balam. When you're dealing over here where the person stole it from the original owner of the flock without the original owner of the flock knowing it, so then Kule Alma Lo Pligi Kedur Chista. Everybody holds like Rav Chista then, in fact, because it needs the Shmiri Yisera. And if he doesn't know that it's been stolen, how will he ever do the Shmiri Yisera? So then what's the machlokis over here? V'hocha b'shomer shagonav mirishuso, sheyachzir l'mokum shagonav kamifliki. And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing over here, what is the halacha when you stole it from someone? Do you have to go and return it to the same exact place where you stole it from? In other words, Rabbi Akiva savar, kolso lo shmiroso. Rashi explains, in Dibur Maskul, Rabbi Akiva savar, Kivan Shinasa Ganav. He now has become a Ganav. So Kolso Shmiroso. He's no longer considered somebody that's trustworthy. The Su Lo Mehemin Lhu Lebalim. The Balim no longer trust him. Dohavale Ganav Shalo Ledas. Because he stole without them knowing it, but he's no longer considered trustworthy. And therefore, Tsarich Das. He has to inform them that he returned it. The Lo Amrinan, and we don't say it's adequate, Sagya Bidas Shomer, that he knows that he's returning it. Vayu Yodeh Bechizaroso. So he has to go and tell the owner specifically. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, no. Adayin lo kosel lo shmiraso. Adayin hu shomer lo. He's still watching it. V'sogi b'daz didei. And it's enough that he returned it, and that's the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel in the Sefer with the case of the Tleh, and it's not paralleling the machlokes of Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Yochanan. Mara says, Lema minyan poter tanoihi. Let us say that this concept of counting, is that considered an acceptable return when he knows that there's 50 there, there were 50 to start with. Let us say that this is a machlokas tanoim as well. Why? Because the following brisa seems to suggest that this is a machlokas tanoim. The Tanya. Hagozel es chaveiro. If a person, Nebuch, stole from his friend, Shimon steals from Reuven, Hagozel es chaveiro, Vivlia lo b'cheshbon. He wants to do tshuva, but he's embarrassed. So Rashi says, li'achazman, after a certain period of time, he wants to do tshuva. So lo kachevenu mekach. He went and purchased something from Reuven, ukishenosin lo domin, and when he paid Reuven for the item, he paid him back not only the amount for the item, but he paid him back the extra 50 bucks that he had stole. So therefore, again, one more time in the Rashi. Kishinos lo domim hosif aleim mosag zela. He paid him back not only for the item that he bought, but he also paid him back for the money that he had stolen. V'hivliya b'cheshbon. And it all was swallowed up. So he gave him 100 bucks for a $50 item, because he really owed him 50 bucks that he had taken from him previously. And why didn't he just tell him, here's the 50 bucks of the item, here's the 50 bucks that I previously took from you by not returning the loan or by stealing from you. Sheyabo shlomar hareg zeh losech. He was embarrassed to say, hey, here's the money I stole from you. And therefore, in this scenario, the Gemara continues, the Brisa tells us Tani Chada, that's the opinion that says one Brisa Yotza, as Rashi says Yotza. In this situation, he is Yotza according to the first opinion, the first Brisa. The Tani Yidach, another Brisa, concludes and says, Lo Yotza, he's not Yotza. And until he actually tells him, this is for the Gneva, he's not Yotza. Now, what's the machlokas over here? Savrua du Kolayama Isl de Rav Yitzchok. All of them hold from the din of Rav Yitzchok, who says, the Omar, Adam Asulim Mashmesh Bekiso B'chol Shavashah. Person goes and checks his pocket all the time. And therefore he'll know that he now has 100 bucks in his pocket and not the 50 bucks that he was expecting to get. So therefore, Adam Asulim Mashmesh Bekiso B'chol Shavashah, he knows. So then what are they arguing about? My Lab B'chol Kamifli. Aren't they arguing about this exact point? Diman Diyama Yotza, according to the first Brisa, it says he was Yotze, Tani Chodo Yotza. So that Brisa holds, that Tana holds, Sofra Minyan Poti. Oh, he sees he now has 100 bucks in his pocket. He knew he originally had 100 bucks before it was stolen from him, plus the 50 bucks that he got for the item. So he says, oh, I got all my money back. But the other mandiyamar, the one, the Bryce that says, lo yotza, says the fact that he counted, so that doesn't mean that the robber no longer is responsible. Until the robber tells him, this is the money that I stole from you, that's not considered returning it. So he says, no, that's not it. Amre, because Isivira Lon Kirab Yitzchok, both of them in fact told like Rabbi Yitzchok, so then Kuliamalo Pligi, the Minyan Poter. So then what's the argument to say that the money that he now knows he has 100 bucks in his pocket is not the 50 bucks for the item plus the 50 bucks that was stolen from him? So he knows he has 100 bucks now. So why would you say that that's not considered a valid return? Ella, B'divir Yitzchok. This is exactly what they're arguing about in this brisa. Do we or do we not say, Adam, Mimash Mesh Bekiso, Bechol Shav Shav? So the first brisa says, yeah, person checks his pocket, therefore he now knows that it's been returned. And it's the second brisa, lo yotza, umar, lastly the yotza, person doesn't always check his pocket. So that's the machlokas. Alternatively, we can explain the two brises as follows. No, they in fact all say the person checks his pocket all the time. So why does one brise say he's yotze? Why does the other brise say he's not yotze when he returned it? Lokasha, hodemane, viromale bikise. Because the brise that says he was yotze is referring to where he put the money in the guy's pocket. And the guy's constantly checking his pocket. Everybody agrees with the Rav Yitzchak. And therefore, he'll figure out that he got the $100 back. So that price says he was Yotze. Because, hold the money, Verami Levi Kisei, put it in his pocket, and the guy will count in his pocket. But somewhat paradoxically, the price says he's not Yotze. Hold the money, he counted in the money, but Verami Levi Yotze, he put it in his hand. And when he has it in his hand, the person doesn't count what he has in his hand. Somewhat of a paradox. In his pocket, he's constantly checking. In his hand, well, I got it in my hand, so I know it's there. And he doesn't go and actually count it up, so he doesn't know that it's been returned. Okay. Another way to reconcile the two brises is the following. If you want, you can say, the money, Veroma B'kisi. No, they're all talking about, they hold from Rabbi Yitzchak. He's constantly checking his pocket. And they all hold that the money was returned to the pocket. No, why is one brise Yotza? Why is one brise Lo Yotza? Hold the Isle Zuzi Achrine B'kisi. He had a lot of money in his pocket. And he doesn't know whether this money is the money that was returned to him or there was other money that he had. So therefore, the second brisa says, Lo Yotza. And the first brisa, Hold the Leslie Zuzde Achrin Bekise. Oh, he knows, well, now I got $100 over here, so I know exactly that this was the money that was returned to me. So it all depends on the circumstances. Yeah, he checks his pocket all the time, but he has a lot of stuff in his pocket. He's not going to know exactly which monies are which. That's the second price of the Yotza. The first price, he didn't have a lot of other monies in his pocket. He's going to know 100% that the money was returned. Okay, next Mishnah. Like I said, a lot of Mishnayos today. The Mishnah begins, Ein lochim in haroim semer v'cholov gadim. You're not allowed to go and take from shepherds who don't own these items, but we are concerned that they may have taken a little bit off the truck and are now selling it. So you're not allowed to go take from shepherds semer, wool, cholov, milk, ugdim, or goats, which they may have stolen, essentially, from the owner. And if it's a small amount, as we'll see, it may not be recognized, and therefore you're not allowed to buy from them in general. Likewise, v'lo mishomri peiros, you're not allowed to take from the people that watch the gardens, the orchards, and buy peiros from them, because again, it fell off the truck, and that's what they're selling. They're stealing it. So you can't, potentially, so you can't go and take from the shomri peiros, eitzim, wood, or peiros, or the fruits. However, avolokim in hanoshim kleitzemer b'Yehuda, but in Yehuda, where the women normally did this, and therefore they had permission, so to say, to do this, they weren't stealing from their husbands. Again, in most relationships in those days, the women were dependent upon their husbands for financial support, and therefore the husband supported them, and their handiwork went to their husband. If they had a different arrangement, they said, no, I'm supporting myself, you keep your money, I'll keep my money. So then, gezuntait, then she do whatever she wants. So, in general, however, in Yehuda, where the women did work over here with various types of woolen garments, and they made them, so you're allowed to go and buy from the woman. You don't have to worry that she's stealing this from her husband. And likewise, in the Galil, uklei pishtan, they would make linen garments in the Galil. This was their right. They had halachically permission to do so, so therefore they could go and sell them, and you're allowed to go buy from them. And likewise, in the Sharon Valley, v'agolim b'sharon, that's the first pshat that Rashi gives. There are two pshatim that Rashi gives over here for these agolim. First, Rashi says, these are the roim b'sharon, the shepherds that are pasturing the animals in the Sharon, and they did this publicly, b'rechava le'ein kol. So therefore, since they're doing this publicly, me'achash emotion b'fahesya lo gonvim, it's clear that they didn't steal them, and therefore you'll have to go and purchase them. Alternatively, Rashi says, l'shnachrina, Sharon is the name of the makom, name of the place, the Sharon Valley, u'makom gidul agolim, and it's a very prime place for people to go and raise these agolim. And therefore, v'lokim agolim b'zol, the golem there, since they're so populous, so they're relatively inexpensive. Umagadlin or something, they would raise them over there, vishalohenhen, and they clearly belong to them. And Rashi says, loshen ze ikar. Rashi likes this second shot better because he brings down from the Gemara in Menachos, where it says that Elim are coming mi Moab, Ukvasim coming mi Chevron, and Agolim coming mi Sharon. So in any event, in all of these scenarios, with the women selling the Tzemer in Yehuda, or the Klei Pishtan in the Galil, or people selling the Agolim in the Sharon, in all of these situations, they are allowed to. We're not concerned about Geneva in these situations. However, even in these situations, if they say, shh, don't tell anybody, if they say, you know, don't publicize what they're doing over here, so then also, because it's clear in that situation that mistama, they are stealing, they're skimming a little bit off the top, and therefore you can't go and purchase from them. And by the way, you can go and purchase eggs and chickens in any place that was not a concern that they were normally stealing this. However, again, if they tell you, shush, if they say, don't tell anybody, so then you have to be concerned. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Tana Rabban, we learn the following Braisa. Ain lo chim min haroim, lo izim lo gidoyim. The Braisa says, you're not allowed to go take from shepherds, neither their goats or their gidim, or the baby goats. Because you have to be concerned that they stole them. Likewise, lo gizin, you're not allowed to go take the wool that they sheared, lo tlushin shotsemer, nor can you take wool that wasn't sheared, that was torn off from these animals. However, avalok in the hand tefurim, but you are allowed to go buy from them garments that they sewed up, because even if they did steal them in that situation, mipnei shein shalahem, because they made a kinyan with the shinui, and therefore it now is belonging to them, and therefore you're allowed to go and purchase from them. Furthermore, avalok in the hand chalav ugvina b'midbar. In the midbar, one is allowed to purchase of them milk and cheese because it's unlikely that they took that from the owners. However, below the yishuv, but in the yishuv, you do have to be concerned that maybe they're skimming off the top, literally and figuratively, and therefore you can't purchase milk and gvina from them as the non-owners potentially of that product. However, you are allowed to go take from them a lokum in arba v'chamesh son. You can purchase from them a large quantity. More will explain why it says four or five, but it says you can take four or five son from them, or arba v'chamesh gizim, or a large amount of the wool that you sheared from them, but you can't take a small amount of a lo shtei tzom v'lo shtei gizim, not a small amount. And obviously the question would be, it said four or five, then it said two, what about three? And the Gemara will discuss this momentarily. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, bayasos lochem ehen, if they are sheep that are homebound sheep, so to say, local sheep, they don't travel very far away, so then you're allowed to purchase from them, because the reasoning over here is, Mistama, the Balim will know, hey, how many sheep they have, because they're local sheep in their local corral. However, Midbarios, the ones that are going and pasturing all out in the desert, so then, in local man, because the owners may not know exactly how many sheep they have, and therefore they could easily skim off the top, and therefore you can't facilitate them, and you can't purchase from them. Gemara concludes the Braisa, Kalolo Shodover, the bottom line is, Kol Sharo Mocher, Ubalabais Magishbo, if it's something that the shepherd is selling, but it's clear that the owner would know that he's selling this, and if he was skimming off the top, so then the owner would know it, so then there is no concern about Kineva, Lokum Mehen, you're allowed to go and purchase it from them. However, if it's something that the owner would not know, Ain Magishbo, then Ain Lokum Mehen, because you have to be concerned that they're skimming off the top. Amamad, the Gemara says, let's go back and discuss this Braisa. We said, Lokanin, Arba v'chamesh tzon, v'arba v'chamesh gizin. You'll have to go and purchase of them four or five type of tzon, or four or five shearings from them. So, Hashta yishlomar abaz avninon, chamisha mibay. So, once you tell me you can buy four, so of course you can buy five. So, what's going on? Why do you have to tell me four or five? Just say four, and I'll know you can buy five. So, Ruchisa says, Arba mito chamisha, because it's telling us that means four out of five. In other words, if the guy has five, then if he's selling such a large amount, such as four out of the five, then you can go and purchase it. But if he's selling one, two, or three, no, that's something that could easily get lost in the shuffle, and therefore you're not allowed to go buy from them. You have to be concerned that it was stolen. Gemara says, Hakuf Akasha. We have a problem still, and I alluded to before. It says four or five, and it says two. What about three? Hakuf Akasha. First, you say, Amris, Arba v'chamesh son, Arba v'chamesh gizin. You can sell four or five. That you can purchase from them, whether it's sheep or whether it's the shearings. So, Arba v'chamesh in, Avo shalosh lo. But the implication being that less than that, in other words, three, and certainly two and one, you can't. So, but then it says, Eimah Seifa, but Avolo shteit son, you're not allowed to go buy two sheep from them. Implication is one or two, no, but three, yes. Hoshlosh Zavninon. So which one is it? Is three the implication that you can't, or three the implication that you can't? Someone says, not a stira, lo kasha. There's no stira over here because ha bevariyasa and ha bechishasa. It's whether they're healthy ones or whether they're more sickly ones. The healthy ones, so that's going to be well known. So even three, you could go and purchase because the owner's going to know, wow, those are three of my really good sheep. And if he's selling them, the owner would know, and therefore he's obviously not stealing them. Whereas if they're the weaker ones, so then the owner's not so particular in knowledge about them. So then maybe three, he's not aware of. So the three, you can't go. Only if it's four or five, then you can go and purchase it from it. Finally, we quote the Mishnah where it says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Bayosos, local mehen. If they're local, domestic type of animals, they stay close to home, so then you're allowed to purchase them because bistanim, the owner will know about it. However, the midbarios ain't local mehen, mechule, because we're concerned that the owner won't know about them. So the answer in Beis Medrash the following shaila, Yibayluhu. Rav Yehuda, Aresha Koi, Ulchumra, Odil Maaseh, Tokoi Lukula. When Rav Yehuda made his comment, was he going on the Resha and therefore he's being more machmir than the town of the Resha, or was he going on the Sefer and he's actually being more maker? What do we mean by that? So is he going on the Resha as opposed to the Tana and the Reisha, so a Reisha koi l'chumra. In other words, the Tana Kama said, the Amar lochim hen arba v'chamisha tzon. The Tana Kama said, you can buy 4 or 5 tzon from them. And then Rav Yehuda comes along and says, that's only hani mili bayosos. That's only if they are the local ones, so the owner will know about it. Avu midbarios, where the owner won't know about it, afilu, a large amount, arba v'chamisha, lo, you're not letting go purchase from them, because the owner doesn't know about it. However, on the other hand, Odilmah, Asefa Koi, maybe review the statement is going on the second part of the Mishnah, on the Seifa, and he's actually making a Kula, because the Tanakama had said, the Omar, Avolo Shtei Tzon, Velo Shtei Gizin, you're not allowed to buy 2 from them. But along comes review this says that's only if you're dealing with the Midbarios. How do you mean the Midbarios? You can't buy 2, because the owner won't know. But Avol, by your source, if you're dealing with the local domestic ones that aren't far from the house, so then the owner will know even 2. So Shtayim, Nami Lokim, and actually review this being more Mekel than the Tanakama. So which one is it? Is he more machmir and he's going on the ratio? Is he more make who's going on the sefer? Tashma, I'll bring you right from the following brice of the Tanya. Review this says with favorish. Review the Omer. Lochin by Yosos mehen. You're allowed to buy the local ones from them. However, the ain't lochin mehen midbaris, but you can never buy the midbaris from them. And in any place, it will call makom lochin mehen arba v'chamisha tzon. You can always buy if it's a large amount, including even the midbarios, which he normally doesn't let you go buy from them. And we turn to Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph, and here's the proof. So, mi d'amar b'chol makom, you're allowed to go and buy the 4 or 5 sheep, shma mina, he's going on the seifa, and he's being more meikul koi, b'seifa, a seifa koi, ulukula. Shmamino, that is a good raya, and this sets us up perfectly to Be'ezus Hashem finish off the beautiful Masechta of Bava Kama tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach.